The sugar tax isn't a new concept. Denmark had a tax on soft drinks in the 1930s, and politicians in the US had proposed a similar tax as early as 1914. But by the end of 2018, more than 30 countries around the world will have implemented a tax on sugar, such as the United Kingdom, Ireland, and Mexico. The potential financial benefits of these taxes are undeniable. A study by the US Department of Health and Human Services estimated that a sugar tax could generate over $14 billion of revenue in the first year alone. But what is the purpose of taxing sugar? Here's what UTS marketing lecturer Dr. Natalina Slatevsky had to say.
If you're charging consumers more for something, then it should have an effect on purchases, so they should be buying less. Research has shown that the sugar tax is expected to result in a decline in purchase and consumption, particularly in the area of, for example, sugar-sweetened beverages. But it's not clear what the actual effect on weight or on obesity levels will be. And that is important considering that that's the whole idea of introducing a sugar tax.
So would the introduction of a sugar tax actually work? Would it actually achieve its goal of tackling obesity?
No. We're all outcomes focused, and there's no evidence anywhere in the world that a soft drink tax helps reduce obesity. We do support low-rated and broad-based consumption taxes, which Australia already has, but we believe the best approach in terms of healthcare is to provide people with choice and information rather than increase taxes on families and on individuals.
You just heard Christine Black, the Director of Sustainability for Coca-Cola South Pacific. Last week, Coca-Cola Amatil, the bottling company used by the Coca-Cola company in the South Pacific, announced a pledge to cut the sugar content in their products by 10% by 2020. Although they won't be changing the classic Coca-Cola formula, it will apply to the other drinks in their portfolio, such as Sprite, Fanta, Mother, and Powerade. This announcement follows a series of similar actions taken by drink manufacturers in the UK before their sugar tax came into law this April. However, Christine Black assured me that this decision was not made in anticipation of a sugar tax, but was more a response to consumers.
We've heard consumer feedback that they're trying to moderate the sugar in their diet, and we're taking proactive action to help them do that. We've been taking action since 2015 and before that. The goal to reduce sugar by 10%, we've set ourselves a baseline from the beginning of 2016 onwards. So we've set ourselves a period of 5 years to reduce by 10%. Really, it comes down to being a consumer-centric company. We know we need to listen to consumers.
Although the sugar tax is aimed at tackling the rising problem of obesity, we can't ignore the possible ramifications Australian cane growers might face as a result of a sugar tax. Australia is home to roughly 4,400 sugarcane farms, the majority of which are located in Queensland, the state responsible for 95% of sugar produced in Australia. Roughly 85% of this produce is exported overseas, which brings in about $2 billion annually to the Queensland economy. Needless to say, it's a huge industry. So how would a sugar tax impact Australian cane growers? I spoke to the CEO of Queensland Cane Growers Organisation, Dan Galligan, to find out.
While the producers themselves wouldn't be taxed, a tax imposed on a food manufacturer provides another disincentive for them to use sugar. And indeed, what they do is instead reformulate into other synthetic sweeteners, but those synthetic sweeteners are used in preference to sugar to avoid the tax, and therefore that obviously has an impact on market share for the cane grower.
Mr. Galligan stresses that the damage a sugar tax could cause to the local sugar industry would not occur overnight, but would have a slow-burning, long-term impact.
Immediate job losses wouldn't be obvious, that's absolutely true. It's a long-term to medium-term impact on the industry. If the tax was to work in reducing consumption, it reduces particularly that domestic consumption pile and therefore has impacts on the businesses that refine sugar for domestic use and grow cane. Over time, as the domestic consumption would reduce, if the sugar tax was to work to deliver that, you'd certainly see businesses contract in size. Not immediately, but over time.
Turning to the political front, I spoke to Queensland state politician Robbie Catter, whose electorate in far north Queensland is home to many sugar farmers, and he believes believes that the implementation of a sugar tax could harm sugar producers.
The price is currently 11 cents a pound, so while I wouldn't say it's break even, it's below cost of production for a lot of people at the moment. Any more blows on demand, 85% of what's grown is exported. That still leaves 15% there off the domestic market, and that can impact. I'm not going to say it would be a death blow to the industry, but it certainly would impact.
However, Mr. Caddo was firm in his belief that whilst a sugar tax could be bad for producers, it would be even worse for consumers and could end up targeting those in low socioeconomic communities.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing trying to get sugar out of the diet. I would just question a sugar tax is the best way to remove sugar from kids' diets. You'll have people in communities that can ill afford any increase on the food that they buy paying an increase, and I think that's terribly unfair. And, you know, where you've got, you wouldn't say wealthy, but the stronger, say, middle to wealthier class people where you'll get an abundance of those sort of problems as well, that's where they can afford other options or there's other things available. You know, we're not saying it's done with the best intentions and it's, you know, will have impact on the sugar industry, but we just think it's probably a little bit simplistic in the way to address what is a terrible problem and a huge drain on the public purse in health, which is obesity.
So, whilst the calls for a sugar tax may be growing louder and louder in Australia, and similar calls may have been answered in other countries around the world, it is crucial to consider the potential consequences, whether it be for the farmers in North Queensland, the everyday consumers, or those in low-income areas. Either way, Mr. Caddo strongly believes that before a decision is announced, we must look at the bigger picture.
Yes, I do see some virtue in it, that's for sure. But overall, do we see it as the right policy mix? No, a blanket sugar tax is going to capture inadvertently too many people and impact on their lifestyle, their health and otherwise, and their budget or their ability to feed their own kids in these communities. I think the damage it does in those areas is, I don't think it's worth all the positive benefit. And you might have a lot of listeners saying, well, hang on, you know, it still helps most of Australians, but you know, I hope we're a little bit more caring in Australia, that we still care about some of those really poor communities.